Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. As always, you got me, Diamond Hands D, and Luke Lloyd.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's going on?
Living the dream, man. I tell you that every day. You know what I mean? We've actually got a special guest today. I'm looking forward to having him on and seeing some, sort of different perspective out there.
Absolutely. So, let's welcome in Matt Goosey. He is the president and owner of MRS Machining. And actually, I believe was on Fox Business.
Yeah, so he's another Fox Business star. That's actually how me and him connected, because I actually saw one of Matt's interviews. He posted on LinkedIn because we were like connected on LinkedIn. He posted that. I'm like, I really appreciate what he was saying, about the labor shortages and supply chain issues. And, he's a small business owner himself. I'm going to let him kind of explain a little bit more about what that is. But, Matt, how you doing, man?
Hey, well, first of all, it's an honor to be on your show. And I follow you on Twitter a lot and LinkedIn, and I like to hear your comments, and sometimes I use them, but it's going pretty good. We're all a little bit struggling as business owners. It's always bringing on new tasks, and the last 2 years it's been a lot more tasks than I would like personally, but
The show is called The Capitalist Investor. So, we love having, great minds and great, business owners on, just like yourself. You are the backbone of America. So we appreciate, everything you do. And you're up there in Wisconsin, right?
Yep, up here in cheese country and beer.
Cheese and beer. That's what I'm talking about.
Speaking of tangents, so we'll just throw one right at the beginning. So did I see correctly that you are also a college football referee?
Yes, that is correct. That builds character. But, it's fun. It's enjoyable. And, that's the reason I really do it, is I look for talent on the field. We're all struggling for employees. So you got to kind of do things a little different. I have a hard time getting into school sometimes. But when you wrap a football game and you talk to the coach the next day, hey, can I come in and build some team building skills? And also you want to learn some more about the rules. I mean, the coach lets you right on the field, the court, and boom, you're in the school.
Yeah.
But the other way, it's not so pleasant.
That's fantastic.
It probably gets you good exercise too, running up and down the field. That's a great way to stay in shape.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess going off of that real quick, is that good, like networking opportunities there? Like being around other referees and, probably other business owners probably around the area. Has that ever like generated business for you, like being involved with that?
Yeah, in a way it has, because, everybody comes from different cultures and officiating, and you learn things from new people. It's like watching you guys and listening to you. I learn things, and that's my goal every day, is I learn something new. And officiating, you don't see what's behind the scenes, and we just don't show up for a game and officiate and go home. There's film and there's interactions of the whole week. I say college football is 15 hours a week. You get to meet a lot of new friends. I've created business. I haven't seen nothing yet, but you never know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, a Packers fan then?
Oh, yeah, G's for the good team.
Cheeseheads. Wait, that's Green Bay, right? Cheeseheads?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
never mind. Oh, God, that was bad. Never mind.
Luke put over there that he's not much of a football fan.
I'm a Steelers fan, I guess. That's about it.
All right, so, yeah, let's get into it, if we could, a little bit, Matt. So I was, kind of reading up on you just to get prepared for this, and it looks like a fascinating story. So it looks like you started this business pretty much right out of school. So, which is fantastic. And, we talk about entrepreneurs and being entrepreneurial on the show all the time. So maybe could you just walk us through kind of, how all that happened and how you started the business and kind of, where you started from, basically.
And explain what you do too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, I'll tell you how we started. I started in action or Zach building, sweeping the floors when I was a junior in high school. I came off the farm. My dad actually worked here. My dad kind of started it. We got in the machining business by mistake. Not by mistake, but the place we worked at, the owner got killed in a car accident. And
oh my.
That was kind of a sad deal. And I got several podcasts I've been on to tell my whole story. So my dad became friends with the customers, and we had some expensive material and moved it in the garage. And the next thing I asked my dad if I could machine it. Well, he did. And it was like, hey, can you do that again, Roger? And my dad's name is Roger. And he's like, yeah. So that said, okay, we got to start this business. And at the time it was government work and stuff like that. So that's why we got the MRS. MRS doesn't stand for Matt's really smart. I won't tell you what my wife thinks it stands for.
Oh, no. I can only imagine.
But that's how the Women Own King came in effect. And, you know, I was going to tech school at the time, so I was kind of helping them out. And I didn't have a clue about running a business. And I'm a machinist. Both me and my dad are machinists by trade. And, you know, we just kind of winged it. And someday I'm going to write a book, How to Machine Shop 101, How to Fail and Be Successful. And, you know, I kind of moved away and I come home and worked on the weekends. And finally, I got married, came back, started it. Joined my dad, and my dad wanted to stay small. I'm 21 years old, and I had no fear.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing you mentioned. You had no fear, and you kind of, it sounds like you basically bootstrapped it, right? You learned a lot through, you know, failures and successes both, right? You know, what did that look like getting it off the ground? Like, you know, did you like have to cut back on things like your lifestyle just to kind of like, you know, get that whole process started? Did you have to take out a lot of loans? Like how did that look?
My dad and my grandparents had a little money, so my dad borrowed money from my grandparents, and then he also borrowed some money from me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was, to be honest with you, it was a week-by-week thing, and we didn't know if we were going to make it survive. And, I mean, there was one time we only had one job in the whole shop, and then I'm looking, geez, I got to get a part-time job. But that's when I knew I had to, you know, we didn't have cell phones and none of that starting out. So it was all phone call, click. And finally, I found somebody, and my dad found somebody, and we got a, you know, we just got lucky. I mean, to this day, that's what we do, is we just make good stuff and we ship it on time the best we can. All the other problems now, it's kind of hard to ship on time. But, we started hiring good people, smarter than us. And that's what MRS is really about, is good people who are smarter than me. I'll be the first to say. And then, you know, we just started growing. And, you know, we finally found a bank. You know, working with banks, that's very interesting because, you know, we're a business to me starting out was like I could balance my checkbook, and I mm-hmm. thought that's how running a business is, but I didn't know what an income sheet and balance sheet was. Yeah. What's that, you know?
Oh yeah. And as you started to grow, you probably had to rely on the bank a little bit more, right? For some leverage or taking out to buy some machinery, things like that, right? I mean, banks play a big part. I mean, just look at Elon Musk right now. Like, he's financing $43 billion through banks. It's not coming out of his pocket. He understands leverage, right? That's important.
Exactly. So I got to learn the banking industry by mistake. And, you know, one of the things I wish I would have done different that I learned, that I would have joined a peer group. That's probably how I learned to run a business, joining a peer group. You know, they held you accountable. They're kind of a coach. They're there, walk you through the process. And in the meantime, you know, you still got to make parts. And so what do we do? We're a contract manufacturer, and we pretty much machine parts for anything, any industry, probably automotive and nuclear, probably the only two areas we don't. So I don't know if you know what machining is. It's like taking a hunk of metal and creating, it's like an art, you know, you create something off a drawing, a blueprint. And where we excel at is more like more complex kind of work. You know, if we don't have more than 20 dimensions on a drawing, we're probably not the greatest at it. We can do it, but, you know, and, you know, we do short run, high volume. And right now, you know, everybody can't get parts, and, you know, we're used to it. That's, you know, we can adapt to change real fast here. We don't run thousands and thousands of the same thing over and over and over.
So what kind of, like, you know, challenges are you facing? You mentioned the supply chain issues and things like that and finding employees. You know, I think it's changed a little bit as time went on. I remember when we first started talking probably about a year ago, it was definitely workers, and it still sounds like it kind of is, but it's more supply chain based. Kind of give us some background, you know, over the past year, what you've been seeing. I mean, we talk about it all the time on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about inflation and supply chain issues and oil prices and a little politics pretty much every week. So, yeah, we're excited to get, you know, someone else's perspective who has been, you know, out there in the streets, as they say. So, I guess maybe first, you know, kind of set the picture for what your business was like maybe January 1st of 2020, and then kind of how it's changed between then and now.
January, you know, that's when COVID just started to hit. And I know going into it, I had like a 3-month backlog. So I knew I was good for 3 months. And it was going pretty flow. And then, you know, all these COVID restrictions came in, and, you know, that created I didn't have a plan. You know, I don't think anybody had a plan. You know, how do you mask, unmask? How do you social distancing? That was all new to me. And then, you know, the supply chain kind of came in. And like I tell my customers that now, you know, when they order, they give a due date. You know, to me, that's just a date. It's a floating date, because your material supplier can tell you he's going to have it there in 2 days, and all of a sudden he's out of it. It's not there. Now that's another week delayed. Or, you know, our heat treating and plating used to take 2 or 3 days. Now it's 2 or 3 weeks. And
wow. That's insane.
Yeah, and it's so hard to schedule. My scheduler here, she pulls her hair out because it's tough. The inflation thing, that's got to stop. That's way out of control. I know I'm not an expert in that area, but this gas price thing, you know, we got to start drilling here in America. You know, yeah. drill, make our own oil. It's get the gas price down, and then I think things will correct itself.
Well, oil goes into everything, right? It's not just gas prices. You're talking about manufacturing. I mean, oil is like in like 90, I don't even know the stat, but it's like 80 or 90% of our products all around. I mean, it's in plastics. I mean, it goes in the process of manufacturing all these different things like steel. I mean, I've heard oil is a bigger part of our society than most people realize. You know, am I right on that? Like, I mean, how is oil, you know, the price of gas and the price of oil impact your business specifically?
Oil is like the foundries, the logistics. You know, we're in northern Wisconsin, so we have a lot of logistics to get to our customers in bigger cities. Yeah. So their prices go up. And plastic, people don't understand how much petroleum goes into plastic. I mean, anything you touch, even a plastic bottle you drink out of, that's got petroleum based in it. It's just not oil that or gas that goes into your car. So people got to look at that a little differently.
I know you had like 48, you have 48 employees. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. Yep. That's correct. And then, you know, we draw them in from probably a 40-mile radius, you know, and so the guy that's out there 40 miles, that's quite a bit more money coming out of his pocketbook just to get to work. And
yeah. So are you having to pay these people more then?
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is, you know, we ain't going to get crazy. You know, everybody's just jacking everybody's wage up. I think we're going to do more like a lot of our vendors for our foundries have surcharges. I think we're going to do an inflation bonus and just correct it that way, because you guys both know this isn't going to last. You know, everything's in cycles. And, you know, I think we're coming down the backside. It's just a matter of how fast it's going to come. I do see recession in the future, but again, I'm not an expert. I just have 35 years experience that I've seen over the years, and there's signs.
I would say 35 years in a small business is pretty expert to me, man.
Yeah, so
that's
maybe
why I got no hair.
That's why I'm going gray.
Yeah.
So you know, that's a great point. So, you know, like Luke just said, 35 years of experience, and you can just kind of, you know, feel your way through these things. It's like, I don't know if it's a good analogy, but I was watching Tiger Woods talk about his short game. And it's basically, he just has a feel for it. He can just kind of look at it with his eyes, and he knows how hard to hit it because he's hit thousands and thousands and thousands of shots. You mentioned the R word, and we've talked recession quite a bit on this show. You know, what are some of those signals, you know, maybe you see secondarily out there or anecdotally? You know, what are some of those signs that you think that might point to an economic slowdown or even a recession?
Well, the first thing, the banks are giving out money to people that don't really have jobs. That's crazy. You know, these kids at colleges are driving brand new cars. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to give loan forgiveness. You kidding me? That's not right. Now, what about the people that have been here all these lives and had to pay and work hard to pay off their college debt? Now, all of a sudden, we're just going to like, oh, here's a free pass to jail. Free pass to get out of jail. Come on, that's ridiculous. And I hope some politicians stand up and hit that pretty hard, because that's not right. And because, you know, eventually we're going to end up paying for it.
Yeah,
I just don't. Yeah, it's us. It's, you know, you think it's free money. There's nothing free in America.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, you're mentioning, you know, the inflation issues. You're mentioning all these different things and printing money and such. I heard that you missed out on $1 million. In business because you couldn't find enough workers to fulfill that order. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. I had a new customer calling me, and he had a supply chain disruption from China. And he's like, here's a part. And he goes, oh, by the way, I need like 35,000 of them. And I couldn't react fast enough. And that's right, you know, when COVID kind of hit there, and I couldn't even get the material in here fast enough. And,
right.
And you know, we're just not set up for that long run stuff. And at the time, I didn't know what was out there. I had to do it all over again. I think we could react a little faster. That's why I always build partnerships up with other customers. You know, I tell, you know, we got to quit working against each other. We got to start working with each other. That's what help a lot more. I mean, I just get sick of people. There's so much negativity in America right now. People feed off it. We got to stop that.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And the thing is, man, the way I think about it is you kind of got a double whammy. Like, you know, you're mentioning printing all this money and paying for it. Well, we printed all this money and we got all this demand in the economy. But you missed out on, you know, the $1 million that probably came because of all the demand in the economy. You missed out on because of not being able to find enough workers because people were living on their unemployment checks. And then now, you know, now we're paying for the money that we printed and, you know, demand's probably lessening. So it's kind of like business owners, a lot of small business owners out there, they kind of got a double whammy. Like a lot of small business owners didn't get the benefit of all the money in the economy that the large corporations did.
Yeah, you know, we had some PP money, you know, that helped. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just, we banked on that just in case things happened. And so that helped a lot of the small businesses. It ain't really the answer. I you know, some of these subsidies people are getting, it's crazy. I don't get that. You know, I work for it. We all work for it. We all pay for it. And I tell everybody here right now, save your money. Dump it in the 401k. That's the first thing I tell high school kids, dump it in your 401k. And that's the fastest way to becoming a millionaire. If you start at 18 and you start dumping money in there. And schools don't even teach 401k. They don't teach soft skills. And I can get into that in a little bit. It's a shame. You know, we need to put that in our curriculum and teach kids how to financially help themselves when they get out of school.
That's, you know, the tax deductions you get in the 401k. I mean, that's important. The growth you get in the 401k. And then talking about high school kids and financial literacy, that's another big thing to why me and you connected very well. Because in our initial conversation, when we first met, you were doing a lot for high school students and the younger generation by, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you donated like machinery to these like machine shops in high school, like the shop classes, and you're trying to push more of these students to get involved in this kind of work. And I completely agree with that. Like college is just so dang expensive. Like why go to college, you know, and make some of the, you know, the average salary, I think coming out of college is like 50, 45 grand. Why go to college and pay all this debt when you can go work a job and as a machinist and probably make more than that and have no debt?
Exactly. You know, another thing I'm going to tell you about this college debt, there's more scholarship money out there right now for colleges. People are too lazy to fill it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, why go to college and have $100,000 over your head? And so my goal every day is to, if I can prevent a kid from going to college, to make the wrong choice, not that colleges are bad, you know, you may need it. But if you're going to go to college to be political science and then you're going to have $100,000 of debt and find out you can only make $30,000 starting out, where you got into machining, manufacturing or welding or something, and you start out about $45,000, $50,000, and you can grow from there and you have no debt, because most manufacturers are, those scholarships or find a way to pay for your schooling. And, you know, I love going to schools and teaching that, because it's really a training gap, because when 07, 08 hit, everybody got rid of their tech ed programs because that was just a burden. And it's more history, more English. That's easy. We changed that. That's changing. So I'm excited about it. You know, we have this thing called cargo manufacturing that me and you talked about, and we have workshops of the year, and we actually had one yesterday. A lot of good stuff happening there.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's actually, I mean, as like I said, I love that. I think that's a benefit to America as a whole. I mean, all kids here nowadays go to college. And, you know, there are a lot of parents out there that are just pushing that as well and not really looking at the financials of it. I mean, college is supposed to be an investment. And I love that, you know, you're preaching what needs to be told in today's world and help the future generations.
You mentioned something earlier about, you know, trying to work together better. That is great advice. And if you go on the Twitter for 5 minutes and you see people just screaming at each other,
right?
You know, it can be disheartening at times.
Keyboard heroes out there, like, you know, behind a screen, they're confident. Heroes.
Yep. Our president is currently Joe Biden, and I don't even know your political affiliations. But you know, if you could sit down and have a 10 minute conversation with President Biden, you know, what are the things that you would kind of ask for that could, you know, help the masses out in this country?
Oh, as Tucker Carlson say, is it before nap time or after nap? Before nap time or after nap time? Or sippy cup time?
Oh, that's a good one.
we'll say it's after a nap, so you got them in a good mood.
Maybe you'll be a little more alert. I guess there's only three things, and I think we hit one of them. You know, college debt thing. I tell them let's not go there. Immigrants coming in, that's crazy. You know, if they want to bring them in, that's fine. But let's bring them in illegally. It's go through the process. Because what are we teaching our kids? You can just get away with anything. We got to stop that. That's ridiculous. And then, you know, healthcare. Healthcare right now is so out of control. It's not even funny. we have a local doctor here. He's a Mennonite doctor. When I can bring my employees down there and get blood work or whatever, and, you know, you go to the average clinic, it's $250 to $500 a visit, or I can go down there and pay $50 cash and get better health care. And that's just ridiculous. Yeah. Something has to be done.
Talk about healthcare. How is that being a business owner? Like, you know, the cost of healthcare and the cost of a healthcare plan for your employees. Like, you know, how does that look? I mean, how has that changed in the, you know, 30 years you've been in the industry?
I'm lucky, you know, there we go. I guess when you talk about officiating, I did meet one of my guys on my basketball crew as a healthcare consultant, and he's taught me more about healthcare and done wonders. And we had the last 2 years, our healthcare went up 0%. And, wow. You know, we have a lot of young people here, and we're proud of it. Where our average age is 32.
Wow.
And most manufacturing companies are like 58, 60. It was good and bad, you know. Young people get married and have babies, so we have to deal with that. But I learned a lot from him, you know. And when you have a consultant helping you on your side instead of just listening to somebody else telling you what you have to do, it really works well. So if anybody's out there, I'd encourage you getting a hold of a consultant. It's always going up, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, how they're shipping people to other countries now to get – they're even incentivizing you to pay you $5,000 to go get a knee surgery. Why can't we do that here in America?
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, my mom took me to the local doctor. You know, he had the little black suitcase. He'd pull out and check your heart and everything. And it was cheap. Now it's just like all these hospitals are getting built. And then now they're all starting to fight with each other around here. Healthcare has got to be calmed down a little bit.
It is. It's pretty crazy out there, I think, all around. I think we can all agree right now there's kind of unprecedented times. Like, you know, we've never seen a lot of these different things. What's the future outlook for you, man? Like, you know, I kind of want to end on that kind of question. We kind of learned about your business, where you've been, where you're at now, how COVID's impacted you, all the things you're kind of, you know, promoting and trying to change for the future generations. You know, what's the outlook over the next 10 or 15 years? You know, I know we have our opinions about what needs to happen, but going forward, you know, how is business looking for you?
In the manufacturing sector, there's more people going out. Capacity is going down because all us guys are baby boomers and retiring, and there's not enough people going in. But the need for machining and manufacturing is going up. We have a really strange thing going here, and somehow we have to swing that curve. And we're helping by getting the schools, but we need more of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have the answers. Automation is going to become a part of it. Everybody thinks automation is going to cut jobs. It's not cutting jobs. It's actually creating jobs. It's just creating more skillful jobs. We have to get kids in high schools thinking more in that direction. It's just not pushing levers and buttons. It's using your mind and controlling things. And then everything's getting reshored right now. You know, people are sick of, like, you know, I had a supplier call me and needed some parts, and it's like weeks to get parts. But I was 5%, 10% higher. Well, you got to, you know, Harry Mosler, I don't know if you guys know him, you got to know what your true cost is. And once we broke down that true cost, he's like, wow, it was like only 5% difference in the risk involved. And I think manufacturing is going to come back, and it's going to come back real strong. I think people are going to be surprised at what we can do here and how innovative we can be.
Well, 08 and 09. So we mentioned the R word earlier. You know, going forward, we might have a recession. I don't think it's going to be anything like 08, 09, like that bad, where we have like a huge crash and the whole collapse in the financial system, essentially. I don't think it's going to be like that. But what did you see in 08 and 09? And if we do see a recession, you know, what are you expecting from that, from a business standpoint?
You know, that was always one of my goals when I was in a peer group to get to a recession. So create a plan. I had a plan, you know, to get through it. And, you know, I put the money in the rainy day account just for it, because I knew it was coming. I think we're all survive. You know, we're all, Americans are creative and outgoing, and well, some of them are, I guess. Some of them are like pamper chefs. They want everything for free. Those people are going to struggle, because I think we're going to stand up as Americans and say, this is enough of this. And either you take it or leave it, you know, go to some other country or whatever. But I think we're going to stand up and hold our own ground. That's just what I'm thinking. I think there's a movement going on here in America.
How was your specific business impacted? Like, did you lose out in sales throughout 08 and 09 or rebounded quickly? Or did it took a little while to rebound? Like, what did that look like?
It was about 6 months for us back then. You know, there's three areas where we're into. You always want to be in the food. You want to be in telecommunications and medical. And then we were in one of the three. So that got us through. That's right. You know, we're on all three now. So I'm not personally worried. We'll be fine. And I think this whole space thing is exploration thing is going to take off crazy. You know, that's kind of the wave of the future. You know, it's kind of like back in the 60s when we were going to go to the moon. You know, that was everybody got into it. And so I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it did. I'm just curious, like, what people should expect if we have another downturn in the manufacturing sector specifically, because that's what you know, right?
Yeah, I don't think manufacturing is going to feel it. I think it's going to be more of the other industries, you know, the restaurants, the banking, and because who can afford to go out to eat right now? Who can afford to buy a new car?
They can't even afford to go out to McDonald's these days.
Oh. My chicken's like $4 now.
I know. It's like,
it was like $1 5 years
it's
ago.
It's like $16 to go to McDonald's now.
My meal's
at
like
least
50.
The way I do it.
Well, Taco Bell is like 50 for me. McDonald's probably more is like 30.
Taco Bell, Mexican pizza coming back. Did you
I'm not
that?
A big fan of Mexican pizza, what? Though. Okay, so here, real quick, I'll go through my order. I get a 2 Chipotle Ranch chicken burritos. I get a chicken chalupa. I get a chicken quesadilla. And I get the beefy Fritos burrito.
So hard to go wrong. I'm a big Crunchwrap Supreme guy myself.
There we go.
So, well, you know, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. I thought that was, you know, awesome perspective from, you know, real world experience. Someone's who's been doing it for a long time and seen the ups and the downs. And, you know, I think something you said in there, America does always find a way to figure it out.
Right.
So, you know, there's it's not the best of times right now, but I'm confident that in the end we'll figure it out. So, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. And all of you out there, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you have any comments, feedbacks, or, you know, even want to be interviewed for the show, email us at info@swpconnect.com. And we will see you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.